Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review the Heights Grignolino from Napa Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Ball. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello, it's good to be here. How are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing lovely. I'm also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Folks, tonight, because spring is springing. It hasn't sprung, it's springing. It's 40 in rain. It sucks. Nevertheless, though, we're going to be drinking a wine that
we're
going
to have snow Saturday. Spring is...
It's springing. It's
spring. Not even...
Yeah, whatever. Well, wherever you might be, it might be sprung, or it might always be warm.
And can you invite us to come visit?
I know. On tonight's show, we're going to be
drinking... some of us.
I know.
You sure? Would you want all of us to go? Or?
That's true. I just want to come visit.
Somebody made a list today.
Did they check it twice?
You're on her list.
You made the list.
You're on my list.
You don't list. Have a list.
Yes, it is. Here's my list.
I will tell you something funny.
Becky.
I would like to hear something funny.
Rob really made me mad today. This is what happened. I mean, you know, like all of our listeners that are married, you understand these kinds of fights. So we have four kids. I was really tired. We had a full weekend of soccer. We had to drive an hour away to this morning to a soccer field. We had to leave our house at 6:45.
35 minutes.
Well, we went to Starbucks, whatever. I was very tired.
Facts matter, just like on CNN.
I was very tired. Grumpy. We came home. Our kids were quiet. I laid Maggie down for a nap. And I was like, Rob, I'm so tired. And I had to work today, too. I had to work for like a couple hours this afternoon. And I was like, I'm really tired. I really want to lay down. And he's like, okay, cool. So I go in our room, lay down.
See?
And it took me a little bit of time to, like, relax. I fell asleep. I woke up. Do you know what Rob was doing?
What was he doing?
Drilling in the basement.
No.
With the door open.
He was using a brad nailer. 2.5 inches, man. Pachunk. I was improving the wine vault. It was a construction zone.
Right. With the door open while I was
Say that I wasn't going to make a bunch of noise.
So I don't know the last time I took a nap. So then... Yeah. This afternoon, I'm working. I was livid. And then I couldn't go back to sleep because I was so mad. Then this afternoon, I was working. Maggie was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a drawer, what sounds like a drawer, opening and slamming shut, opening and slamming shut, opening and slamming
shut. Brad Naylor.
So loud, it woke up Maggie. I couldn't work.
False. Well, partially false.
Ooh. So,
you could.
I got Rob back a couple of different ways today, but the best way.
Where's my. What?
Was Luke pooped tonight? He had an accident.
Epic.
Sent him right down to his dad.
Who says I changed it?
And I heard Rob say, did your mom send you down here? And Luke's like, no.
He did say that.
Did you know better?
So mad.
What, know better about what?
Luke being sent to you.
Oh, I know she didn't do it.
I was upstairs helping William make their bed, and I was like, Luke, take these wipes and go downstairs to your dad.
Such a bullshit, chicken shit move. But I would expect nothing less. Oh, no, you take that. I want your hands. Nevertheless.
So mad.
Well, you be so mad. On tonight's show, we have a wine that is more delicate, more aromatic, more sensitive.
Like you.
Yes, like me, damn it.
I think that's where he was headed.
No, I wasn't. No, it's from Heights, though. The famed, well, to us anyway, Napa Valley producer of Cabernet, also yeah. Chardonnay. And they used to make Zinfandel, but they don't now, as far as I know.
What?
I don't know. Japanese bottom. I don't know. We've been there. But this is their least expensive wine in their portfolio, other than maybe their Sauvignon Blanc. I haven't price checked that recently. I don't think so. I think this is the cheapest. And this is their Grignolino. And if you're saying, I've never heard of that, that's right. You haven't. Grignolino is actually a wine from northern Italy, I believe. Piedmont. And it's, is it, I think there are some, actually some Grigolino de Asti's and things like that. Not normally, I've not seen one in the United States marketed like that. I mean, you might see them in Italian blends, you might not know about it. But I don't know of many Grigolinos that really come to the States and are sold that often. It's a fairly rare thing
You're
to
saying
say.
Grigolino. This is
Grignolino.
Yeah, it's actually...
Grignolino.
I listened to it on Translate, and I heard it five different ways from the same person. Right. So I don't know. I'm going with
it's a
Grigolino.
Relatively low alcohol by volume.
12.5%.
That's so surprising. It's really low.
I know. This is the only...
Do we drink anything else that low?
No. Well, Bordeaux can be sometimes. German Rieslings can be lower than that. Normally are. That's about it.
I mean, we've drank beers.
Italian... Yes, there's some varietals that are lower alcohol like that, red or white.
Mm-hmm. This is, though, the only 100% Grigolino in the United States. And they started it off a five-acre little plot. And it's grown from there. Although it's not, it's small production still. But it's $24.99 right now of your money. So we're going to expect something that has a little more aromatics, something that is a little bit lighter. But still have elements of maybe a little bit of a Zinfandel flair without the punch.
And expecting it to have less body in general.
Somewhere between a Chianti, a lighter Chianti Sangiovese, and a Zinfandel. Somewhere in that range. Hmm. You use Chianti or Zin glasses for them too. Hmm. Now, I think it also, in coloration, is slightly pale. But not rosé. It's red.
It's red. It's just...
Yeah, it's not that pale. I was going to say dark.
Well, I don't... But it's not inky. It's not as concentrated as you might see.
Oh, and I like think their ink port?
Yeah. Look at it. Look how...
Yeah, it's fairly translucent.
Yeah, so if you hold it up to a white piece of white paper, it looks lighter. But it is a medium-bodied wine.
Okay.
At least they think so. So...
We'll see what we think.
That's right. So we're going to take a break and then come back and put this wine through its paces here on the Wine Bolt. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2016 Heights Cellars, which is, by the way, the current vintage, Grignolino from Napa Valley. And it does have a review.
Yes. Hello. This is Wilfred Wong, and I actually did review this wine.
Well.
I know. This 16, I was the only one to review it. No one else did. And I was like, come to our place and review it. Well, for no, it fine. So I showed up, and I was the only one in the room except for this Czechoslovakian guy. And so I had a drink, and then 2 days later, Scott, it was 2 days, I woke up in a bathtub filled with ice, and I had one less kidney. It was a great experience for me. I loved it. I don't know what happened in those 2 days, but I imagine all the perverse things that they did to me must have been just fantastic. I want to see a video of it if sometime I can find it. I haven't yet, though.
You have
what?
Issues, Wilfred.
What?
You still have both your kidneys.
No.
They found that out in prison.
Oh. Well, the physical. No, Scott, this happened. It really did. It was my thyroid. I don't know. Anyway. So, commentary.
If they'd only removed your prostate.
Well, you can test it later. While there are a few New World Grignolinos to be found, Heights Wine Cellars has consistently produced a lovely singular model of this grape variety. The 16 vintage...
If I had known we were doing this, yes. I would have kept reading my book.
Yeah, well, maybe you shouldn't put Rob on your list. The 16 vintage is a beautiful wine. There's all sorts of things. I'm going to be on the show tonight. I can get you back. The tasting notes. Damn it. On the comment, they put my diary. You know, that's all right. This wine has soul. It's equivocal. What? Evocative aroma. See, he printed it on paper. He doesn't have, like, printer paper, so it's like a notebook.
I kind of like it printed like that.
I don't. I can't read it. This evocative aroma and flavors of savory spices and dried earth could pair very nicely with a flavorful Oso Buco with mango chutney. I didn't say mango but you could put that on there.
You know, the next time you go to a roadside vendor, you could buy more printer paper.
No, he doesn't do that. He goes to Kroger and lies about it. Yeah, he does that too. And you're like, wow, the roadside vendor sure has a lot of things.
Kroger brand.
Look at that. That's magical. I bet she believed that lie too. Wow. So what?
Anyway,
I'll be back later on the show. I am going to do the whole potpourri as Wilford and the penophile. Wilford doing the penophile. Yeah, I meant to say that.
So, in the glass, as we said, it is held up to paper, pale. But still, a red wine in the glass, definitely. On the nose. Strawberry preserves. Is that maybe a little rosemary and thyme?
Right with the strawberries. It reminds me of...
strawberry, yeah.
I put a boatload of herbs when I made a strawberry habanero jam. Now, it doesn't have the habanero jam, but I put a boatload of herbs in it when I made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that just brings back making that jam. Mm. I think some of our listeners might think the strawberry is a little lighter than jam, but mm-hmm. it's a wonderful, wonderful nose. And boom, straight on what the winemaker says in her winemaker notes, the scent of straight, fresh strawberries in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's followed by a lively mix of red fruits on the palate. I'm excited to taste this.
A nice job of it not being a sickeningly sweet nose with strawberry. Like
that's why I thought lighter nose, mm-hmm. lighter strawberries yep. than quite preserves. But
I thought I was smelling something else, but it's kind of gone, and I don't know.
A slight bit of fresh cut grass.
Yeah, grassy, herby,
meadow-esque.
Oh, wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful sight.
I thought I was maybe getting a licorice thing in there, but I can't find it anymore, so I don't know mm-hmm. if it's gone or I was just hallucinating.
I think you could go that way. Whatever that blend with the strawberry is it herbal or is it towards
maybe you licorice? Met the Czechoslovakian guy, too. I was hallucinating for a little bit, and then I passed out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If you wake up in a bathtub... You like pellet ice. I hear that. That'd be nice.
It's not
usually good. It would mold around you. The pellet ice would, I think.
I bet you think that.
I do.
I'm going in.
Yep.
To finish the winemaker's notes, soaring acidity sculpted with delicate tannins and a nip of white pepper adds an assertive note to the finish. They say suggest lightly chilled. It's one of their favorite aperitifs. Of course, it's perfect with your favorite Italian meal. Brittany Sherwood, the winemaker.
It reminds me of... it has a little bit of a flavor profile of a Pinot, slightly. But at the same time, it also shows a little bit of the Italian roots in the acidity and the spice. So it has almost like a Pinot front edge with the red cherry and things of that nature and a little bit of the herbaceousness. And then as it goes along, it has the length, and it still has length, of fresh strawberries and spice and maybe just a wink of leather that sing towards a Chianti, but a very light one. not light, but because it has mouthfeel. It has body. It's just not punchingly rich. It's not this big, extracted deepness. So while it has weight, while it is medium-bodied, the flavors are all very nice and subtle. It's not drippy.
Where I found the winemaker's notes was on thewiseolddog.com. And the person that wrote this says it's got a certain factor, and that's gulpable.
Oh.
This is tasty.
Gulpable?
Gulpable. In all caps.
I know what. That's just
that
all
caps. That means you could gulp it down.
I got that.
You could drink a lot of it.
It's the gulp.
It means you could drink to excess with it.
In context, note.
How? What does it mean? I don't quite understand.
Yeah, you wouldn't know about gulpable. That's
no,
sure.
No.
Note, for serving size, we recommend one bottle per person here.
Does Steve Gibson write this?
If we were going to have a picnic, whatever, and there were several bottles to choose from, I might slink off away with this bottle for myself. This is delicious.
Yes, but you're a deviant. We know that.
I'm a deviant.
Mm-hmm. No, this wine is very nice.
This is so easy to drink. Well, this is what are so nice about the lighter bodied, and I don't mean light bodied, but a medium bodied, lighter style Italian red wine are just delicious. They're just for drinking. They're for your backyard.
I gotta be honest.
For a picnic.
This is a little bit more complex than that. The beauty thing is, you sit here and you look at it in the glass, and it has just this tranquility to it. It does have a less extracted, obviously, backbone, but you look at it, and it's just so pretty, slithering around the glass. The nose is nice, and the mouthfeel is just dynamite. I like the flavor profile. It reminds me of so many other wines that I like. And you know, it's just like a quilt, a patchwork quilt of all the different elements of different wines that you enjoy, without the guilt of 15.5% alcohol.
Or there's that.
Whatever, you know. What do you think, Becky?
I like this wine. It is a little bit, I don't know the right word. Linear?
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, what the complexity in the wine for me lies in the different berry fruit you can pull out and the ability of that fruit to be Pinot-esque. But then if you go a little deeper, it's that Zinfandel berry profile too, yeah. Though. But you've got the cherry, that Bing cherry. There is some strawberry in there, and
yeah.
Then it goes over to that blueberry. Excuse me, blackberry.
No.
Raspberry.
No. You know the other thing about this wine. It tastes upscale. You know that you didn't go out and spend $11 on this wine when you taste it. But it also tastes, it has the sophistication of a premium Californian producer. To say that it does have the right amount of polish. So you know that it came from someplace that doesn't put out junk. That knows that it has a high standard and knows just the right amount of polish. Because some Italian wines, you'll drink them, they're very nice. They're not necessarily polished.
Yep.
Now, the problem we have with some California wines and Washington wines are, they like to, like in those little rock tumblers, they'll take something and make it completely smooth. You don't want that. And it doesn't do that. It
just
has the right amount.
I was just thinking about, this wine is a happy hour wine. Can you imagine if you got served this? Like, how lovely. Because it just is like a...
Yeah, That it's good for that. It's,
but it, that makes it sound like it's a cheap, crappy wine. It's
no,
not.
No, no, no.
But
this is, you, this is a nice. This is a very nice happy.
Wouldn't
hour.
That be such a nice?
Oh yeah, this is the perfect. It is a perfect aperitif. I wouldn't serve it chilled. I would treat it properly like this, right. Cellar temperature. But this is a wonderful. We're having drinks. We're having some appetizers, and then we're going to go in and we're going to drink Martha's Vineyard by Heights Cellars, or Trailside, or
be unsurprised. So you get this, you order this. Yeah, this is different. I'll have this at the happy hour. Yeah. I know Heights, right? And then you get it, and it'd be like, this would make your day.
You know what's ridiculous? We should have just had a Heights dinner. So we have the Grigolino as the appetizer, as a show. Then we'll have the trail side as the main event. And then we'll have the ink grade port because I have all of those things. We could even also have just their standard Napa Cabernet, too, because I have that as well.
I have a question. Has the refrigerator ever done a Heights night?
No, not that I know of. Not recently. Mm. If I've shown off, I would say I'd have Martha's Vineyard, but I don't.
I feel like the Heights night would be really expensive, but think how nice that would be.
That would be.
Refectory, please do it.
Yeah, top tip. Yeah, because they have a lot of also just little sub cabernets that are expensive. They have that lot, what is it, lot three, lot one? I don't know what it is. It's like 99.
Yeah. I get their emails, and they have some stuff that's like really, really, really pricey too. I mean, they really.
Well, the Trailside, the Martha's Vineyard, well, the Trailside is like 140, 150, which is high for it, in my opinion. I've bought it before, and I have still, but I bought it in the $80, $90 range. I think that's. They're good wines. It's just you're really. I mean, you're in second growth Bordeaux prices when you're in the 130s, 140s, 150s, and that's just it's hard to say. Yeah, I'll do that. Martha's Vineyard is a classic Napa California wine. It's just like Opus, or better. Yeah. But
the other thing about Heights is it's not sold everywhere.
No, no.
And that I mean, you can find it, but it's not.
It's not Camus. Yeah.
Well, but it's. Well, you know what I mean. It's wide ranging. You can,
you can
accessible.
Find it, but it's a little bit, yeah.
There's enough cases so that it's available,
right?
But you know, it's not as. And they've kept the Napa around $50-$60, which is fine. Some places haven't done that. I mean, if you're Schaefer, their Cabernet is $119 just starting out.
Yep.
I mean, go try to find Staglin. It's $300.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you're like really. I mean, see, like you can still get the Freemark Abbeys. You can get, but Hall is $60-some now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're Napa. They have his other rando things, but they're straight.
Just a straight
estate Napa is $66. I don't know why it's $66, but there's some other ones. There's tons. Ones I don't buy, but. Well, Pride, it's $70-$80.
Yeah.
Joseph Phelps, it's in that price range, you know. I mean, there's all sorts of, it's like $60-$70.
The Stag's Leaps, the two different makers there.
The Artemis is like 70 something, which is too high. It should be, it's good, it's
it.
Really good,
it.
But it's $50-some. Oh, the other night, Scott and I had my favorite neighbor, Harold and Harriet.
Yeah.
Anyway. I said to Scott that this tastes like a $60 wine. Well, there's a reason why I thought that. This current vintage is $34 on wine.com. Every other previous vintage was $60.
I wonder what the hell's going on there.
Probably because they couldn't sell it. Because they're not known. A great wine. But you're really getting, from what we understand, they're really pushing it in our market and getting it out there at that price.
Yeah.
And maybe they can, if they have this brand, this one thing that they can buy. Obviously, they were overcharging. If they can sell it at 33 and make money, they were overcharging at 60. The profit margin was probably too high on it. And it's a mutt. Yeah. I don't know if it's, I doubt it's all estate. A very delicious wine, by the way. Wonderful value at 34. But are you going to buy it at 60? You're not. It's good. It really is good. And you're not wasting your money at 60, but it wouldn't be the thing that you'd buy.
It was really interesting. I think you'd really like it a lot, Becky.
I think so.
It's a predominantly cab at 40%, and then it has like six other varietals in it.
Yeah.
Probably would. Is this oaked?
Slightly.
I think that it
I feel
is
like
a
I tasted a little bit on the end.
I think that's where that reference to the white pepper comes, and just that little sparkle of something at the end, that little nip at the end.
I didn't see any reference to it on the website, but there were no particulars in that. I would think that it would be.
I was just thinking, so we went today to Cherbourg downtown in Bexley.
Oh.
And it's a gluten-free bakery. So outstanding. It's a one of those great places you could pick it. You could be like, just get me anything and it's fine. You know, I love places like that. But they have some little cafe chairs set up, and it's on Cherbourg's not on Drexel.
No, I don't know that road though.
Anyways, but it's like right by Capitol, like that pretty area, right by the Giant Eagle. You know,
it is on Drexel. I think
it is Drexel.
I think that's Drexel. It's on the street that Graders is on.
So maybe it is.
That's Drexel.
But in my mind, I want like just a splash more. But in my mind, I'm just thinking about like those little. That's plenty. I don't want any more. But I'm just thinking about like having this wine on a really pretty summer day, sitting there in a little cafe chair. I mean, it just would be.
I drink this wine in fucking February. I don't care.
Yeah. No, but that image, that like moment that I like am imagining in my mind would be really lovely.
Ties in with your idea of, you know, you get this at a happy hour. Wouldn't it be? Would just, I said, make my day is what it would do. But the idea of having this sidewalk cafe.
Yeah, isn't it?
Some kind of maybe a savory scone to go with it.
Actually, I'm thinking about more. You're overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The waves are crashing. It's late in the day. There's a cool breeze. It's nice. It's very comfortable. And you're eating local seafood, but mostly like shrimp, stuff like that. And you're just sitting there, maybe a little cocktail sauce with some wonderful, wonderful shrimp. Maybe even a little lobster. Just a little bit. A little touch. And those flavorful things with this, with that view. Not shellfish, shit like that, but you know, a little fleshier,
maybe
fleshier fare.
But then, you know, Rob then pays the tab, and then he says, "Oh, let's go closer and look at the ocean." And then there's the sound of screaming, "Ah!" as Becky pushes him off the cliff because he woke her up from her nap. Oh,
my 10-minute
with the nail gun.
And then 2 days later, you wake up in a bathtub and it's filled with ice, and someone has taken
your kidneys.
Yeah, and I was completely nude, strangely enough. And then they said it was my bathtub and I had done that to myself.
I will tell you all, so, I mean, we live in the country, but Cherbourg is downtown in Bexley. It's like a super cool, upscale neighborhood in Columbus. I feel like for the most part, it's a pretty wealthy area. And when I went into Cherbourg, there were two little kids, twins, boy-girl twins in front of me. And they were like maybe a year or two older than Henry. And they had walked to the bakery by themselves and were getting their order. And they were like, "Oh, yeah, your mom told us to make sure you get whatever, maybe like a cinnamon roll or something." And so they put it in there and packaged it up. But they obviously knew those kids.
Yeah.
And it made me really, really happy. Like those kids didn't even know, like, to be able to be 10 or 11 years old and jump and go down to the bakery and get breakfast and come back home, like, that's a cool, cool experience.
Not many parts of the United States do you have that.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Whether it's walking to a little diner or walking to the bakery.
Yes. And I thought, too, their mom was probably like, "I can get a shower while they're gone," or, you know, whatever. Like, I can have a minute of peace. I can make my coffee and then my kids will bring it home. But it was a cool moment.
Yeah, and so I think for me, that's a bakery you go to whether you're gluten-free or not. It's just so good.
I got a strawberry scone. It was so bomb. I got William a chocolate donut. They do a strata. They have all kinds of stuff in there.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back right here on the Wine Vault.
Welcome
And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, I have a completely original thought.
First time for everything.
I am going to provide four varietals.
Mrs. Weaver, your fifth grade teacher is very proud of you right now. You had an original thought.
That was not my fifth grade teacher.
You were not copying off Adam again.
No, he got a D and everything, so. Four varietals. What is your favorite wine from that varietal? Just name it. Name a wine. It doesn't even have to be real.
Okay,
we'll pretend like it's real if you don't. I'm mostly looking at Scott here.
Well,
okay, tell me. I'm Cab.
Cab.
Merlot.
Merlot. Saint Laurent. No. Pinot and Zinfandel.
So annoyed with you.
Dornfelner.
Do we have to play Merlot?
Yeah, you do. You have to say.
I'll just bypass that one.
No, you have to. I'm gonna make you say it.
I don't have a favorite Merlot.
You have a favorite Merlot. Pride. There you go.
I'm Henry. I'm rolling my eyes.
You just do that. And so, right. Mess with me. I'm gonna host this as Wilford. Anyway, we'll start over with Scott so Becky can cheat off his answers. Scott, what is your favorite Cabernet? You can only pick one right now and do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
And don't be trendy.
Well, it's okay to say Camus. I'm not going to say Camus.
I was going to say Camus to piss off the wine guy. That's exactly what I was going to say.
It just makes you sound stupid. It doesn't bother me.
So
we know what Becky's answer is.
I
just do favor that Artemis from Stag's Leap. I don't know why. It just does it for me. I haven't had it that many times, but it's just...
You like just, things that you can buy at Red Tag at Meijer.
Well, you know...
For full retail price. Nobody told him that's full retail price. No, well, it's a good wine.
We got it a couple times on really good prices. The other one that strikes my mind that we got at a really good price... Is the BV. That was a really good deal, that Rutherford.
Yeah, but if you could pick one Cabernet that you like, those are the ones you pick?
One that I would buy regularly from here to eternity.
Hmm.
As a more of a drink now, maybe hold it for a couple years, but Mount Veeder is really nice.
That was a nice one. That was very good. Very, very Napa-centric. I mean, it was like Napa. Yeah. I mean, it was very Napa. Very nice. Very good wine.
What was it?
Mount Veeder.
What was it, though? Nap.
Napa. Kiss my ass. Okay. Becky, what's your Cabernet? Oh, you have to look up there. Eyes here. You're cheating. It's not an open book. I'm just joking. Go ahead. Do what you want.
I was going to say Camus.
Really?
Just because I don't... Well, number one, I was just going to say to get on your nerves.
Fine.
It is good.
It is good.
It's not cheap, but they produce a lot of it.
The 40th anniversary was really good. The 40th anniversary was great.
It is, when I see Heights Cab up there, that's really hard to look past.
Yeah, the Napa. Just a straight Napa. Why not?
Yeah. I think it just is hard, though, because both of those are expensive. They're not.
But this wasn't value. I mean,
but it feels so pretentious to say those as your answers. She
could have said Screaming Eagle.
She's never had Screaming Eagle.
Screaming Eagle.
Well, I've never had Screaming Eagle. I'm never going to, probably, either. I mean, I can't hide that. I can hide a $30 bottle of wine. I can't hide that. That's just,
Yeah. But, I mean, doesn't that feel pretentious to say?
No. We have a podcast about wine drinking. That is pretentious.
That is pretentious. You can find Heights at that Giant Eagle downtown next to Cherbourg. So, I mean, it's not, like, inaccessible.
They didn't have it today.
But I think I would actually say Heights. I would say Camus to tick you off, and it is very good. It's so Camus Cab is like honey. I mean, you could just drink it.
Yeah, no, that's a great description. You could say you drink it like water, but no, what it's like honey. It's just
it's bee throw up.
It's like the reason why gluttony exists, I feel like. I mean, you could just drink the whole entire bottle and not even.
Yeah. Gluttony, yes. But I would suggest, yes, Camus does have those kind of ties. That's why you like Bonanza.
It's just like a discount Camus.
It's not.
But
it's not.
Anyways, yeah, I think I would say Heights. To me, that's just like the standard. The high standard.
Wilford, I mean Rob.
Yes. I'm going to celebrate Alexander Valley.
Let's see how pretentious Rob can be.
I'm going to celebrate Alexander Valley because I love Alexander Valley cabs. Mm. I'm not taking it away. I'm not saying I don't like other things, but I like Alexander Valley. So I'm going to, the most obvious one is, to me, is Frère Corano Cabernet.
You do love that.
It's Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah. There are a multitude of superior Cabernets. If I was going to be pretentious, I would say, well, I would say a Pinot Canet because it's Pouillac and it's predominantly Cabernet. But,
you know, that's so pretentious. Good job.
Smith Holt Lafitte.
Yeah, no, a cab based Bordeaux. Why not?
Pichon Léogon
Barrel. Merlot.
Stupid.
Not that I have that.
Piling on. Moving to Merlot, I'm piling on and. I really love that Frère Corano Merlot.
I know you do. You really love that Frère Corano Merlot.
I really love that front. Did I say that? That I really love that
I haven't had it. Merlot. We need to have it again. Buy it.
Do you know what I love? I really love that Frère Corano Merlot. Mm. Did I mention that?
Mm. I prefer Saint Emilion.
Obviously.
Obviously.
I don't know that I have a favorite Merlot because I'm not a big Merlot fan. So I'll just pass.
No, there's no passing. You did like Pride Merlot.
Okay, Pride Merlot.
Because you're bougie.
It is so bougie.
Listen to this, folks. She,
I like Pride Merlot, too.
You did. And that was like,
I don't like who I am on this podcast this evening.
Maybe I like Pride. Maybe I like Merlot.
Yeah, most people like it when they're pride.
In the name of
love. I was just saying. You know. Paloma Merlot is extremely good, too. I mean, great Merlot. Petrus is Merlot, predominantly. So is Lépine. I mean, those are, you know.
You know what? I was cleaning up the bottles from my storage project and came across a bottle of Chateau Mainvalle that was very...
You see,
I've got one of those left, brother.
I mean, Franzac makes...
We talked about that last week, I think.
Yeah, Franzac makes excellent Merlots. I'm going to pick one, though. Becky already picked Pride.
By under duress.
I'm going to go. You see, I've had Duckhorn, and I'm not going to say Duckhorn. I could say Three Palms Vineyard, but that's really getting douchey. But I could say that. What I'm going to say, I could say Paloma Merlot. That's really, no, but no, you can't do that. I would say Gurgit Chills, but it sucks. If I'm going to say one Merlot, it has to be slightly, it has to be chocolatey, it has to be austere, it has to be this, that, and the other, which means I'm drawing a blank. You know what I'm going to say?
What are you going to say?
I'm going to cheat.
I don't know what you're going to say.
I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to go to a satellite. I'm going to go to satellite... The Chateau d'Orange-la-Page from Saint-Emilion, not Saint-Emilion, Saint-Emilion, one of the satellite producers over there. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's really the kind of Merlot I prefer.
I mean,
that's under 20. I mean, you could pay $10,000 for everything else, but you know, when you say, well, I like Pride, and like Becky likes Pride, I mean, yeah, right, $70-$80. I like something that's under 20 because I'm not so pretentious. That's so, right. Next.
Oh, Jesus.
On to.
What do you boys
didn't
say?
Didn't he answer for you?
I'll say something and he'll say, I'm a man of the people. That's what he says.
I mean, you remember this? Oh, here, Scott. Remember that red bottle we had? That one down there?
Termes?
No. The maroon bottle.
Chateau.
Oh. The little French.
It was a Saint Emilion.
It was single varietal, though, wasn't
Pinguin?
It?
No, it was predominantly Merlot. That was good. I like the what's the oh shit? There's so many of those little, you know, Bordeaux Superiors and the satellites that are so delicious. Scrap all that. The Chateau Le Prat. That's what I like. That's it. Screw all that. Chateau Le Prat.
It's, you know, it's just...
Turn the show off.
I'm sure it's that's so like good to our listeners how precise you are in your judgment.
Chateau Le Prat. Screw it. That thing was fucking fantastic.
It
and
was
you know
really good.
Really good. It was fucking... It was like... It was a brick house. We gave it 93s.
It was a bigger...
Yes, it was.
French wine.
Yes, it was. It was a... It was Jason with a hatchet.
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Hansel.
Becky,
I feel really torn on this.
I've got to go with Alpatagua. I just have to.
Well, you can do whatever you want.
That's what I'm doing.
I had mentioned, Becky, that I was going to get Hansel for us to drink. It's $105 a bottle. I'm not buying Pinot at $105 a bottle. I'm buying...
You said you were getting Becky a bottle of Hansel.
I could get the cheap one. They have one that's like $44.50 bucks.
I think she deserves it.
But that's like the knockoff.
How do you spell it? H-A-N-Z-E-L?
Two L's. But yeah, I was like, really? Hansel costs that much? Wow. I'll buy Beaufray, which is not that much. It's like 70. And that's a great bottle of wine.
I'd like to know more. You know, I'd like to know the better California producers, but I just don't drink that much Pinot, you know?
I feel like something that has been really great that I've loved on the show is where we've done different regions. Like, here's a Cali Pinot versus a Marlboro Pinot, whatever.
Sure.
Like, different regions. And I am honestly, I don't love Napa or California for Sauvignon Blanc or Pinot. I am having a hard time picking between South America or like Love Block Pinot. I love, all know I love that. And I'm having a hard time picking between that or like an Opatagua Garage Pinot. I love both of those.
The Garage wasn't a Pinot. It was the,
come here.
Ferment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I'll pick Love Block. Opatagua is such a good choice, too, though.
Yeah. It just...
Never, ever go wrong.
You can't. Yeah. You just can't. They do such a good job.
And I
San Antonio
like both
Valley.
Of those, you're picking, like, two A++s.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to go with Hitching Post.
That was nice.
I like Hitching Post. That was a great wine.
I'm surprised neither of you said... Your beloved Mary Edwards didn't say your Mary Edwards.
It's pretty expensive. I mean,
I've been bougie enough on this episode.
They're good,
but you guys love the Mary Edwards.
But but I really like the Hitching Post. That Hitching Post was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then on to Zinfandel, and here's the trick:
no Turley,
and no Dry Creek.
How dare you?
I can't play because I don't know of another Zinfandel. Do you, Scott? I don't know of another Zinfandel outside of Turley or Dry Creek.
Well, I'm saying Ridge.
Which one?
Value price wise?
We're not saying
value price. I mean, I'll say the Three Valleys. That was delicious. That was fantastic. It was amazing wine. But Pagani is great. They're all great. I mean, they're all elite. But I'll say the Three Valleys. Becky's going to say Bueller.
It was a bit of a unicorn, but I'm going to go back to that. What vintage was it? Was it a 13 or was it a 14?
I'm scared what you're going to say.
The Baron?
Oh. A Baron or Baron. What's
that? Yeah, that Baron.
13. It was 13.
That 13, you know what?
It was Napa?
Sonoma.
Yeah.
Well, you also had the 12 Napa.
The Napa was really good.
It was a good wine, yeah. And then it changed because it went to Copper Cane.
Yeah, it changed hands, and I don't know that it does it still exist. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. They've done fucked it. So
since you've taken away Turley and Dry Creek, then I'll pick Ravenswood.
I take that away too because they don't exist.
Actually, you can still get the Lodi and just
but they're not
had
making
a glass
it.
Of old vine.
Why'd you take away Dry Creek?
Because you wanted it, and you're on my list.
You saw that, his eyes.
See, my list is more dangerous than your list, because I can actually exact my revenge upon you.
I would, I mean, we should do this sometime high-end, low-end. High-end Zinfandel would be Turley Runaway Winner. Lower-end, which is still not low-end, because it's fantastic, as Dry Creek. It's hard to pick anything else, because those are both so great.
Sagashio.
I don't love Sagashio like St. Francis. Sagashio.
Really? Yeah, that what was that more upscale bottle of St. Francis?
Oh, the Reserve. That was really good. That was fucking really good. Yeah. I mean, Bueller is delicious.
Rob loves Sagashio like...
It wasn't. I like Sagashio. You get it love everywhere. It.
And I think it's fine.
The consistency of Sagashio was pretty damn impressive. Mm-hmm. That Ravenswood, that Barisha.
The Barisha is great. Oh, Tedeschi is great. Tedeschi's Dixon good. Is great. Those are all great.
But we had a deal where we could get that vineyard-specific Barisha for like $24 or something stupid.
Well, sometime this year we will acquire and do the Marietta Ronin. Roman, mm-hmm. We'll do Dash this year at some point.
Sometime for a potpourri, I want us to do what wine dinner we would most like to go to.
Okay. And I want us to do sometime what, for each varietal that we just did, what is our favorite AVA from that specifically? So
do it on the second episode.
No. I want to hear what you say. I'm very curious.
It'd be a lot of middle fingers.
You can bring Henry down with you so he can whisper into your ear AVAs to help you. Both of you, quite frankly.
We'll stop it.
Maybe even William, too. Maybe he can taste the wine and tell you what it tastes like. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Stop. And be, well, you need some
help. I have
help.
Not stopped rolling my eyes.
You can call him your assistant.
Honey, come look at the view from here.
I said,
it is pretty.
The question was to Henry. Splat. Henry, what
Wake
is the predominant
from a nap,
what is the predominant grape in Burgundy? Red grape. And he looks at me. He goes, "This was like a year or two ago." He goes, "Pinot Noir." I was like, "That's correct." Boom. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, I'd just like to point out right now on Pandora, it's Becky's favorite R&B artist, R. Kelly.
By far.
She just talks about it. You know, she just has that. She listens to that in the car with the kids. Right now, Your Body's Calling Me is playing, but she prefers to listen to Honey Love, which I think is creepy. Don't you? I think it's weird. It's just, you know, give me that honey love. There ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I mean, that's just romantical. I thought so.
So I just liked the Refectory on Facebook, and we just missed they did a virtual wine tasting for Willamette Valley.
You could learn about the wines from Willamette Valley and what the elements in Pinot Noir is, since we couldn't provide that for you. What were the wines that they were drinking in Willamette Valley?
Let me tell you.
Sure.
I think
Hold, please. We need our intern back.
I think you and I looked at it one night, what they were going to have.
I don't remember that.
It's like Christmas, maybe.
virtual wine tasting.
All Pinot Gris.
They were going to do...
Larkspur.
Taste a variety of white and red wines.
Just Larkspur. Verticals of Larkspur.
Who's that? The quad riding guy.
Do you see the...
Who's the quad riding guy from Total Wine?
Robert.
Oh, it doesn't say. It just says it was going to be each tasting package includes 9 wines and a petite cheese plate and serves 2 people.
Scott, do you
reservations
see,
are required.
Do you see the Larkspur pork is up there?
It's $140 for 2 people. That's a lot of money.
Well, $70 a person isn't much for them. It's a lot of money, but it isn't much for them. So, the Griglino from Eitz Cellars in Napa Valley, California.
A wine like this is really, really hard to score because I don't have anything to compare it against mentally.
Fair enough. We did not do scores of integrity.
I didn't either.
Well, you don't have any integrity.
Well, makes it easier to score.
Over to the Triple B.
I volunteer to start first.
Okay.
I'll go first. Yeah, so similarly, other than in general, comparing it to lighter-bodied red wines from Italy, I don't have a strong foundation under which to score this, as it's the first time I've had this varietal, 100% all Grignolino. Nonetheless, I like this a lot. It gets good scores. It's somewhat... Linear's maybe harsh, but I love the fruit. I think it has fantastic nose, solid backbone and tannin. It's not the most tannic thing, but that's not what it is. That's not the grape that this is.
Yeah, it's like an appropriate amount of tannin, yeah.
I think it was oaked subtly. Mm-hmm. Heitz did a great job of not getting in the way of this wine, which you would expect from them.
Yeah. Yep.
This wine doesn't taste manipulated in any way. I'm at 88, and I think that's a fair score. I'm not sure what the cap on this wine is, how high it can go. Probably 88, and maybe I'm giving its peak score. But I'm comfortable with that. So be it.
Are you going or am I going?
Which would you prefer?
I don't care. Go ahead, you go.
All right. First of all, this wine, I've had this wine before, but this wine, not this vintage, but I've had Grignolino from them before. It wasn't my favorite thing. Tonight, it might be one of my favorite things. I find it intoxicating, literally. The wine itself, the mouthfeel is so amazingly pillowy soft. The front palate emulates a little bit of Pinot, and then it just crescendos into like Italian kind of Sangiovese Chianti thing going on. But it's also really well done representing those things. It tastes somewhat luxurious. It tastes... has the right amount of polish. Everything about it is excellent. I think the only thing that would hold somebody back is, what do they think of the varietal? And some people might not think the varietal's for them. It is for me. I'm giving it 91 of my points.
Whoa.
Wow.
And I have no problem doing that.
I have no problem with my 88
either. Yeah, same.
Well, that's because you're new.
I am... more 88, 89. I'm going to give it an 89. Scott, I really liked what you said about Heitz, how they made the wine, where they didn't manipulate it. They didn't get in the way of it. And I think that is, it sounds like, oh, they just let the wine go. But so many places don't do that. And it, They knew what they had, and it just is a nice wine. I was kind of at an 88, but then the The idea of when you drink a wine and you're transported to a time and a place and like a moment, that is where I bumped it up to an 89. For me, it is a little bit linear. I am a fan of this varietal, but more for a certain like moment. I don't know that this would be something I would drink all of the time.
Well, there you go. I would drink, I'm not going to, but I would always be happy drinking this wine.
I agree.
Hmm. No, I would, think you do.
No.
I don't think you do.
No, I do.
You
agree.
Don't agree.
I do.
You
agree.
Do not agree. If, you don't agree with me.
Stop.
It's if impossible. You said, you don't agree.
If you said, hey, no. Let's have a bottle of the Grignolino, I'd say yes.
Well, you're drunk, but Becky is being more honest.
It would be like Martini and Rossi. Say.
Yeah. I don't know. You, Becky, though, are saying exactly what I'm saying. If you're saying the varietal isn't necessarily your cup of tea all the time, you're not going to score it the same way I would, because I think this wine is transcendent and everyone should drink it all the time, every day.
Yeah.
Probably because it's so pleasing to so many people. Mm-hmm. I find the complexity, I think it's being undersold, quite frankly. It has nuance. And the thing is, also, think about this. Nose, mouthfeel, and flavor profile. Mm-hmm. All three things are good. They're all good.
You don't often argue us on scores.
Well, you're wrong. But you're not wrong because of what you said. It isn't necessarily your favorite flavor profile.
I didn't say it wasn't my favorite. I said it was linear. That's all I said.
There are wines that are linear, but there are many things there. It isn't extracted. It isn't dense.
You don't see me and Scott defending our scores.
Because you can't, because they're defensible.
Indefensible.
Somebody's
butt cheeks are sore.
No.
His butt's all sore.
I have no problem with her because she explained it, and I agree with her explanation. Oh, you're stupid. God.
He's trying to get back in my good graces.
I don't care about that. I'd never have cared about that. But I'll just
do this voice the rest of the night. We'll see how you think you're on my good side. You're very wrong.
Please don't.
No. Please do.
No, I could.
You could do what?
Could drink this anytime. I love this style of wine.
Yeah.
Is it my most favorite? No, it's not my most
favorite.
See,
there you go.
But I could drink it anytime because it's so easy.
It's so awesome.
Frank serves a lot of unique little 100% varietal things.
Frank drinks this at home.
Oh, I bet he would love this.
I bet he knows it and loves it.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him.
Does Heidelberg sell Heights?
I think they do. This is the thing, Scott. He knows it, and he drinks it. You know why? Because the people that know what good wine is, they know that.
Yeah.
It is a bit of an oddity. It is a bit of an offshoot. But that's okay. It's just like Sicilian wines. They're a little bit of an oddity. They're a little bit of an offshoot.
Yeah, you've got some really unique varietals.
It doesn't mean they're not great.
Right. The last one I can think of was the Frappato, and I don't remember if that's 100% varietal. I think it is. I think Frappato is an individual varietal.
I mean, it comes down kind of like that. So, if you like, it is an oddity, but I think that the wine itself is so harmoniously done. And
that's a word we haven't used yet to describe this, and that nails it, harmonious. That's really a perfect word for this wine.
It has the nose, body, and excellent flavor profile and length. All those things, if you like all those things and you like what it's showing, that's where I'm in the 90s. So.
Heights is a Heidelberg.
Yep. And 91 is top of the mark. It's not a 92. It's an 89 to 91. Period.
Yeah.
And also, I'd like to point this out, Scott. This is a 16 vintage. And this is current vintage that you can buy now. But...
Oh, then it's barrel oak then for sure. It's so well done.
But that's got some age on a wine that isn't necessarily this big bruiser. More kudos
for sure.
And guess what? Heights, tip of the cap. So for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed.
You're not going to announce that you're putting in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you'll just see it somewhere randomly in the room.
Oh my gosh!
Go ahead and put it in the Hall of Fame. You can do it. Use your seniority.
Oh, it's going to stay here. I'm just going to throw something else away to put it here. That's what I'm saying.
You have to say it.
I don't.
Okay.
You gave an 88. It doesn't get in the Hall of Fame because of that.
You can outvote me.
No. You gave it an 88.
Okay.
You douche. So, because Scott is a douchebag, no Hall of Fame, but tip of the cap, and highly recommended to the heights.
Oh, my God.
Regalino. So, for Up the Wine Guy, Scott the Nicest Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we will bid you adieu. However, we will see you next time here on the Wine Bowl. Good night.